today because of the good news presented already. But in this passage, John tells us some warnings that we need to know for our heart. And also, 1 John really is meant to give us assurance. And I think the children, are to be dismissed. Thank you all. Assurance that you know God. You could say you know God. He's shown himself to you. Someone said that life is one long conversation with God, which we either open our hearts and listen and share and tell him to take care of certain things that we need help in, or one in which we ignore him, which could mean we do all the talking and we tell him how the universe should be run. So he wants us to yield to him in the conversation. And he always has more to say about himself than we have to say about ourselves, being his infinite. Okay, a lot of good things about the Lord, and we're finite. We can say a few things about our own selves. So here's some gifts of assurance that you know God, and watch out for the super-duper knowledge people that were back then, and we're all susceptible to that, which we'll see in a little bit. Gifts God would give us: a humble confidence that you know God. We know that we have come to know him. God wants us to know we belong to him, and we do so by obeying what he commands. It gives us a reassurance. Yeah, I know the Lord. He taught me these things, just like you would know a loved one. You know, as maybe mom or dad showed you how to change a tire or cook a nice cake or something like that. Jesus shows you how to live. Yes, I've come to know him because it's really good to do what he asks us to do. So our hearts are drawn like a magnet to obedience. The second gift, three signals of faith. You say to your own soul, look how you trust Jesus. You might have your doubts about the Lord, might have times of dryness and, you know, seems like evil's winning. But when everything ends at the end of the day and you're backed into a corner, you say, well, I trust Christ no matter what. So you look how you trust Christ. The Gnostics said that wasn't good enough. You had to have some kind of higher knowledge. Jesus is light. So look how you trust Christ, sign of real faith. Look how you obey God. Again, you could run away from God for a long time, spend a long time in the pig pen of sin, but eventually go back to the Heavenly Father because, hey, your heart is drawn like a magnet. I got to obey God. I can't help it. His gave you a new heart to do that. And then look how you love people. Again, might be kind of inconsiderate of others, not caring. Self is your main concern. But when you trust Christ, he gives you a compassion for others. He's the God of all compassion. And someone said, if you do have a dry time, which we all do, or feel away from God, go and do something for somebody. Go and love somebody. You'll be surprised how close you feel to God when you do that. Okay, go and love somebody, a way of meeting God, because you're walking in his ways. A warning against false teachers, there's some gifts. No super-duper Christians, and all of us want to be super-duper something, right? Super-duper at work, super-duper husband, father, nurse, whatever the case may be. We want to be super-duper. Christian, no, we're glad to belong to God. He's the only super-duper. We put our trust in him. No Christians up here. Me and a couple other real good guys and gals, and then everybody else over here. This is not what the Bible says. Get that out of your head. Okay. Even Paul, when he talked to the Corinthians, who were really wackos, he said, you're saints. You belong to God. Some are carnal. Some are immature. You still belong to God. No super duper Christians. Love your church. That's a warning. Don't go away from the local group. A local group is there for your health. As it said in verse 13, people walk away from God. No, that's 19. They walk away from his people because they really didn't, their heart wasn't in, you know, walking with God among people. So as optional as the church is nowadays, which is a pretty significant lie, the enemy. The Bible says, don't walk away from the local church. And it is the last hour, and watch out for the Antichrist. We'll talk about those briefly. Now, last, in the Bible, God makes a big deal about last. Last day, last hour, last days. And when God says here, it's the last hour, it's a metaphor. It's not 60 minutes. Okay. And about half, you should read with some knowing God. About half the time sequences in the Bible, about half the time the Bible mentions a time, like a hour, days, and so forth, day. And that is metaphor. You know what a metaphor is? It's a real comparison. Last hour, it's like it's the last season. Okay, it's not like the end of 2019. That's not that way. This is the way we think. We're Western. We think of a clock and, you know, last hour, 60 minutes. Last days, that's today, tomorrow, and the next day, that's about it. In the Bible, a season of time to turn to God. We have one last chance to turn to God, our life. There'll be a last judgment. One time where Jesus will say, you belong to me or you don't belong to me. Okay. Jesus had a lot to say about the last. He said, the last day, I will not lose any who I have. So there's some reassurance there. He said, in the last day, I will raise you up. And even when people were in grief, Jesus said, your brother's going to rise. And I think it was little Martha who said, or Mary, I know he will rise on the last day. In other words, when things were all done, God was going to be number one. And guess who's the most important last in the Bible? Most important last. Jesus. Seven times he says about himself, I am the last. He's the last one standing. Okay, so we put our trust in him at every turn of life, at every season of life, early, autumn, winter. He's the last one who closes our eyes when we die. Last one. He's the last one who says goodnight to you tonight, whether you say goodnight or back. The last one, very important. Okay. Don't try to figure out what the last hour is in terms of his return. You trust God for that all the time. Jesus said nobody knows the hour. Okay, so it's an exciting thing, an interesting thing to try to figure out, you know, is it going to be 2019 or 2020? Or when is he coming back? This is a human thing. He says, look to him. He's the last. He's the last. So looking at the world and the last days is a God-saturated experience, going through this pretty quickly, that Jesus does rule from all eternity past. That's why we don't need to add to him. Okay, he's the Holy One. If you know the Son, you know the Father. Jesus' birth and mission comes and changes our lives. So many good things to say about him. And then Jesus' role is known, I like to put the phrase, more and more throughout history in the life of a believer and in the conversion of, the word would be, billions. Okay? This is how Jesus rules and is known more and more. This is a Bible truth here. And then Jesus returns. Nothing's going to be totally right till he returns. Here's man's view of history that sometimes it's understandable because we're broken and we see only from a human point of view. Man's broken view of history in the last days. Man rules since the fall. Things are a mess. We're always going to be a mess. Jesus' birth and mission, he saves our soul. But man and the devil continue to rule. Even in our good skits over here where there was a real devil, real evil presence, God won the day. And you want to have that perspective because that's the Bible perspective. Okay. God rules the world. The devil would be an enemy running amok, as it were, and then Jesus returns. John's testimony about, boy, how great God is, and if your heart is drawn to last day's things, Think about the greatness of Christ. You'll be so drawn to Him in obedience and renewal and faith. In 1 John, God is mentioned 105 times. Father, Son, Holy One. All kind of good things the Lord tells us about Himself. Antichrist is mentioned 4 times. That phrase, Antichrist, in the Bible only mentioned 5 times. Some of you mentioned them 10 times just yesterday. Okay. You don't want to go in that direction. Okay. Your focus is getting wrong. Okay. If God fills the whole earth, if He rules every square inch of the universe, every moment of history, then our focus is to be on Him. We do know that the enemy is there. And somebody said, if you want to try to figure out who the Antichrist is, the old time preacher said he was kind of rough. He said, since we don't know the last hour, the Antichrist is somebody who would, if you look in the mirror and you see your life without Christ, as these people up here said, there was the anger, there was the vanity, there was the greed, there was the lust, there was the addiction to wrong. Oh, Antichrist. I'll be able to recognize that when I see that, because I saw that in my need for salvation. Okay. And the whole Bible, what's the whole Bible's perspective on God and evil? God tells us about Himself, Yahweh, Lord, King of Kings, 14,000 times. A lot. It's a God-saturated book. It's a God-saturated world. It's a God-saturated day. And hopefully you have a God-saturated life. All the phrases naming the devil, Satan, demons, about 250 times. A real presence. Dwarfs. Is dwarfed by God. Okay. Ratio is 56-1. 56-1. I did a funeral for a dear Christian lady. She was kind of a new Christian. And I usually use a person's Bible when I do the funeral. And she loved the Lord, no doubt. But because she was just getting started, the only thing underlined in her Bible was the phrase, the devil. This page was the devil, and the devil was this page and this page. And I was thinking, man, you know. And she had a hard life, so maybe that was a part of it. But she really should have had a much better and much more colorful Bible if she'd underlined the Lord. The Lord. God. Okay. It'd be like going to the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone National Park, whatever you like better, and seeing what majestic scenery, beauty, take your breath away. Thunderous buffalo herds, you know. Amber waves of grain. And also in your trip, you saw there was a poisonous snake that got run over by a truck. And the head was injured, but it was still alive. And it was writhing around. And it was still dangerous. If you get near it, it's going to bite you. And they say, somebody said, what'd you see at the Yellowstone? And you have 10 pictures of the snake. Look what we saw. Don't go to Yellowstone. I'm telling you, there's a snake out there. You know, you missed the focus. You know, you want your heart looking at who the Bible view of it is. God's very available if we give our heart to Him. Now, if we want to listen to the devil's channel in our head, then God will say, go ahead. Look at the snake till you're dead. Find out what the story is about Him. A real presence, but Jesus, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And in closing, some Antichrist qualities that are obvious. Want to pass those because it's the sin in human exaltation. But assurance of salvation, you can know the Holy One and all of you know the truth. Okay, I belong to God and He said so. So I trust Him. I put my trust in His Son. Anointing you receive remains in you. He teaches you about all things. So keep remaining in Him. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. It'll take care of the false teaching. It'll take care of the enemy, both the Antichrist and anything bad. And then to know the gift of Christ. God not only has forgiven us of our sin, but given us the goodness of Himself. What a wonder. You know, these young people, they can tell you wonders about God. If you go in the bookstore, gravitate, or go online, whatever you like to go on, gravitate toward writings and books and literature, or write them yourself, that honor the greatness of Christ, how deeply He loves people, how lives are changed. Okay? Don't gravitate toward other sections that's just like bad, 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 bad. No wonder you're going to walk around saying, this world stinks. I just got to get out of here. I hope Jesus comes back today. That's not sufficient motivation for talking about the Lord's return. Come soon, Lord Jesus, because we love You, because You're wonderful. But we do want many to know You before You return. And God can give us that perspective, and we can know that we've come to know Him. Well, let's pray and ask Him for His help. Thank You, Lord, for Your dear love for people. John wrote so these people could know. Wow, what a gift God would tell us about Himself. We could know God, know Jesus, know that we know Him. Some signals in our soul about obedience and loving others and so forth. Keep us from susceptible error that we all have. It's almost like we don't need a false teacher to fool us. We'll just fool ourselves by getting our eyes off You. So help us to continue to trust You, remain in You, as John said, like we would remain in the loved one. We're never off Your minds. Help us to always have You on our minds and hearts and reflect it in actions. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with a benediction. We'll stand without singing, in other words. We'll sing extra next week. And from God's word, the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face.